Hey, when you say something nice to somebody, listen to me, please stay with me, please. When you say something nice to somebody, it changes their day. Hey, you all go to the diner. Do you all know your waitress's name? If you don't, shame on us for not knowing the person. We have 20 people at one table, amen, at the diner after church. And this one girl's running over here, running over there. I don't have my bread. And I'm guilty of that. And then I realized this girl is trying to take care of 20 people, and we don't even know her name. How bad, I see, we're missing it. We should all know her name and call her by her name nicely. It's a whole lot better than, hey you, I don't have any butter for my bread. But you say something nice to somebody, it changes her day. How much more if you say something nice to the person you love, does it change her day or his day? Is it hard to say you look nice today? Or thank you for thinking about looking nice today to be with me. Sometimes I feel inadequate with my wife. I do. I'm sorry. I do, because she's always looked so nice and I look like me. That's the truth. We went to a nursing home recently and the lady said, oh, you brought your father with you. Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm all right with that, because it makes me proud. But you say something nice to the person. That's God. You know, we walk away from God. We talk about things. We do things our way. We don't listen to God. And he's waiting right there with the door open. So I'm telling you, I've talked to you about doing things for yourself. Doing things for yourself. Now, for many years, I've told you about my son, Matthew. Have I not told you that no matter what, I don't want to forget his birthday. I don't want to forget Christmas. I send him cards. I leave him text messages. I never get anything back. How many times have you heard me say that? Well, let me tell you, for the last 3 months, we've been communicating. My son has been texting me back, talking with me. Greg knows my son. He knows him inside out. And he knows what it's like to have a son. He's got two of them. But he doesn't text me every day, not like our daughter, three times a day. But he's communicating with me, talking to me, calling me dad. And just last week, we have a new addition to our family. Matthew had a little boy. Well, he didn't have it. His girlfriend had it. Yes, his girlfriend. Don't worry, I'm working on that. Slowly but surely, now that he's talking to me, I can't get him. Hey, you need to get married or else. Because God loves that little baby. I don't want to know. God loves, that's a blessing from God. That baby's a blessing from God. I want my son to do everything he can to bless that child and understand. And right now, he's not going to church. But I'm thanking God, you see. When you do things for yourself, I did those things for me so that I knew that I was doing little things all along. It's because when God answers the prayer, I want to be ready. I wanted to be ready. When he texted me and said, hey, that was great. Whatever I said, I don't know what I said. I don't know how I said what I said to make him answer. But he answered me the first time, and then the second time, and then the third time. And now with the last text I got, he said, oh, Dad, I'm so sorry. I was so busy. I didn't answer you when I had it, but I didn't send it. You see, now he's telling me that he was sorry that he didn't send it. When he wanted to. You see, that to me, that's God. See, that's when you act like God, when you show God, because I've been giving him love all this time. And I'm telling you, I know that there's people in your life that you miss that you wish you could say something to. But let me tell you one more time. If somebody you love is sitting next to you, say something nice. Give them everything that they need to live a life that's wonderful. Give them joy, even if you don't think you know how. Give it a try. Because it's going to change who you are. It's going to change the person you are. See somebody, say something nice. Don't say something foolish, say something nice. I'm glad to see you. How about that? Even if you don't really care for the person, just say, I'm really glad to see you today. Especially brothers and sisters in church. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Keep a door open. It gives God a chance to show us. He keeps the door open for us every day. He shows us love every day. Don't let another hour go by without telling somebody how you feel. Don't let another hour go by without you saying or doing something, no matter how much they frustrate you. And trust me, I frustrate that woman 25 times a day. But she still takes care of me. She still makes sure the house. She still makes sure she loves me. And so you have to do that with each other. Maybe you say, to, oh, I'm, you know, enough, age has got nothing to do. This is a new day. This is a new, say this with me. This is a new day. You got a new chance. And if they're there, call somebody on the phone you haven't talked to. Say, look, I know we're not talking, but I just want you to know I was thinking about you and praying for you. That's all. And hang up the phone. Don't worry about what they do. Because God has always waited for you no matter what you did. So don't worry about what they do. You just keep that door open. Keep the line of communication open. And I'm not telling you to sell out. Because I know there's people who want to come against you. I know that. But you always keep the door open for God to do something miraculous. Amen. Never close the door on God. Hallelujah. So let's pray together. Hallelujah. Today is the day. Today is the day we can give somebody more joy than they ever thought. We can give somebody more hope. We can give somebody something, somebody that we love. We can say it today. We can go home and say it. We can call somebody and say, we miss you. We love you. Whatever it is, you look nice today. It's not hard. And if it's true, it'll come from your heart. And it'll change the person you're talking to. It'll change that person. To see that the person that they have in their life is wanting to tell them that. It's a beautiful thing. You're acting like God. You're talking with love. And God said love is the greatest of all things. Money, no. Wealth, no. Prosperity, no. Wealth, all those possessions, no. Love. Love is the greatest of all things. So when you give the greatest of all things to anybody, you're giving God to them. So try that today. This could be the greatest day of your life, something new opening up, somewhere today that you just said, boy, I know I never do that, but would you let me just try? And say, Lord, help me. This is a good time to be with God. Say, Lord, help me to do this. Help me to see this, Lord, that I want to keep doors open too, and I want to lift up the people around me. They need it. I might change your life today by just doing that one thing. And I pray that for you, and I pray that for me. In Jesus' name, hear my prayer, oh Lord. Thank you, ladies. Peace be doubled and tripled today. Give him praise. I talk to Dave sometimes and I say, I know I put a sermon together with people in mind, and when those people aren't here, it makes me, it just, I don't know, but it gives me the spirit of sadness because I want to change people's lives. I don't want to change your life. I want to bring you to God. Who changes your life. Let me say it that way. I just want to read the word and talk to you and preach about God, and I want God to change your life because that's the change that changes forever. Can I have an amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 1, now, we didn't put them all in because I tried to get Marilyn as quickly as I could to Psalm. We're going to read from Isaiah in a minute. So if you want to write down, and by the way, just another note, I talked to some folks last week. When I read from the Bible, I never really liked myself to read. When Pastor Larry, my pastor, was reading from the Bible, I didn't like to read along with him. I would rather watch him and listen and make some notes. Maybe I wrote something on my bulletin because I wanted to listen to what he was saying. When I started reading along, I got lost. I went ahead of him or he'd stop and I'd forget where I was. So I'm going to give you some Psalms to look up if you want to. You don't have to. And then we're going to go, Marilyn, with Isaiah 40, 31. We're going to do that. But that's what I'm, sometimes it's easier to just hear it and then go home and read it. Can I have an amen on that too? Amen. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. Hope. Hope is one of the greatest. Hope is the great. You know, people without hope are lost. Understand what I mean? If you don't have hope for tomorrow, what do you have for tomorrow? Nothing. You need hope. No matter what your age or what you're doing, you want to hope that tomorrow something special can happen. It's the hope. Psalm 37:34, it says, wait for the Lord and keep his ways. Pretty simple. Wait for the Lord and keep his ways. Psalm 37:34. I like this one. This is from the prophet Micah, M-I-C-A-H in your Bible, and it's 7:7. He says, but as for me, as for who? Yes, right, you. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He's saying, I'm going to wait for the God of my salvation. All the greatest things you're praying for, the God who gives it to you, he said, I'm going to wait for him. And I know that he'll hear me. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And again, I tell you, the soul, understand what the soul is. Marilyn, it's the deepest part of you. When that is at peace, when the soul, when your deepest part hungers for God, that just explodes into the rest of who you are. That's your deepest part. And it says, to the soul who seeks him. And Psalm 27:14 says this, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. What do you have to have? Courage. And what is courage? Faith. And faith is strength. And strength is power. And power is God. It's all good. Are we there yet? How many of you have ever heard that? Amen? You all heard that? You were laughing before. My son had a different one. Why do we have to go this far? Anybody ever cook Thanksgiving dinner? And you waited for the turkey. Is the turkey ready? I put the turkey in. But when you put the turkey in the oven, ladies, is that all you do? I mean, you get ready, you put the turkey in the oven, you sit down staring at the stove. That's it, right? You don't have to do anymore. Is there anything? There's nothing, Marilyn, right? Once the turkey's in the oven, your work is done, right? We are waiting for the... Wait a minute. I mean, when you're waiting for the turkey, there's more to do? How about is the paint dry? Anybody ever paint? You paint and you can't wait for it. Well, is it dry yet? Because I gotta do more. Do you stand there with a paintbrush looking at the building? As soon as it's dry, I'm just going to start. And that's all you know. Because there's more to do. Isaiah, and I'm telling you, if the more I learn about the book of Isaiah, the more I realize how foolish I was many, 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 many years ago. And I said, nobody could read the book of Isaiah. That's what I used to say. It's so complicated you can't understand it. The more I realized this prophet Isaiah, who was almost 700 years before Jesus, was amazing. His words, his wisdom, his comfort, his joy, his power was amazing. And I just laugh at myself for lack of wisdom and lack of any understanding. Boy, I'll tell you, when people talk about what they don't know, it sure is foolish. And it says, but those who wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40:31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, what's the one thing you have to do? You have to wait. But while you're waiting, just like ladies with the turkey, while you're waiting for the turkey, what do you have to do? More. Say that word with me. More. So you have an obligation. You have an obligation to God, Deacon Sergio, while you wait. You have an obligation. Tidy up the things around you while you're waiting. If you ask God for things, then tidy up the things around you. Maybe your attitude needs to change a little bit. Maybe your habits need to change. Maybe you can clean up a little bit. Maybe you can do other things. Maybe you could say something nice to somebody while you're waiting. Imagine that. Anything that would get in the way of your blessing. So while you're waiting for the answer, anybody here waiting for answers? I am, because I talk to God every day. So when you're waiting for the answer, you see, then tidy up all those things around you. Because, okay, I'm waiting, and the obligation now is that I need to take care of other things. I need to clean up other things. I need to get myself ready. Hallelujah. Don't give in. When you're waiting, don't give in. Don't lose faith. A lot of people do that. God is answering So when God answers you, what will he find? Will he find a faceless person who gave up and gave in? Somebody who can't even enjoy the blessings? I've told people that many times when I've had talks with them, when I've counseled people. Don't give in. Don't do that, because when God answers, you're going to be a mess. And you're going to have to heal all these other things in order to get to where God wanted to bless you, because you gave in and you lost your faith and you lost your strength because you didn't wait on the Lord. You waited on yourself. Are we there yet? That's what was your attitude. Be strong. Be ready to act when your prayer is answered. I love that. When you're waiting on the Lord, get everything in order. Pat, just get it. Wait, get it ready, because when he answers you, you're going to be ready. You're going to see it. You're going to know it. And you're going to be able to enjoy it. You see, you have that. Waiting on God. I wrote this. As you wait, polish what needs taken care of. Waiting on God does not mean to do nothing. You probably say, well, Pastor, I know this, but live it. Live it with me today. Enjoy it more today. Let it sink in more today. That there's things you... Who are you asking to do this favor? Who are you talking to? You're talking to God. You say, God, fix this. I want you to fix this. And then you mess it up. Why? You say, God, I want you to do this. You're asking God to do something for you. Let me tell you, he's no little God. When he does something for you, it's going to be bigger than you thought. It's going to be more wonderful, more beautiful than you thought. If you get out of his way, understand, you're asking God to do you a favor now. Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your brother. You're asking God to do me this favor. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Anybody ever hear that? The Bible, Psalm 23, he makes me lie down. That tells you what other thing, David? It tells you that sometimes he's just going to make you sit. He's going to make you wait. Because he's seeing you. He's seeing you losing. He's seeing you all frustrated. He's going to make you wait. There will be times in your life that he will put up roadblocks. Does anybody know that? He will put up roadblocks in front of you that you can't go left or right. Hallelujah. Every direction. He won't open the door. And he won't let you go through it. You can say, that's what I want to do. And nothing ever happens. Whatever job it is, whatever relationship it is, whatever thing you're praying for, it's not happening. God said, nope. You asked me to fix it for you. I'm going to fix it for you. And that's not the way. Sometimes you want to hear it. Sometimes you want God to talk to you that way, don't you? Don't you want him to say, Bernie, that's not the way. Well, that's not the way God talks. That's not the way he leads us. Hallelujah. You're trusting God. It's hallelujah. It's no longer, and I hate to tell you this, guys. How many praying for something? Anybody? I'm telling you. It's no longer you making the rules then, is it? You prayed for something. You put it in his hands. It's no longer you making the rules. Yep. It's no longer your plan anymore. Whose plan is it now? It's God's plan. You gave it to him. You want to take it back? Things so wonderful in your life that you want to take back your prayer? No, see, now it's his plan now, see? Because you're trusting God, it is his promise to answer to his praise. While you wait, you're drawing closer to God. This is so beautiful. The Bible says, draw closer to God and he will draw closer to you. People say, how do you do that? I don't understand. Because when you're praying, you're just holding on to God. When you're praying, you're talking to God. When you're praying, you're believing God. When you're praying, you're saying, Lord, help me. Lord, show me. You're drawing closer to who? And as you draw closer to God, he's drawing closer to you. Hallelujah. While you wait, you're drawing closer to God to know him in a place where your faith becomes powerful. Has anybody ever met anything but people with just powerful faith that they just believe? I've met people, they just believe. They believe God will answer them and you can't talk them out of it. What a great place to be, Mary. Amen. How many years did we pray for that? Now you don't even think about it. I know you think about it, but not like you did before. You talk to God every single hour. Joe was talking to God every hour. Oh, Lord, help us. Now it's like, hey, God is saying, hey, remember me? Hey, remember me? You know, I know you still pray, but not like that. You see, when you're talking to God every day about that, you see, you're drawing closer to God. The answer you receive, and here it is, the answer that you receive is a reflection of God. You've asked God to answer your prayer. The Bible says, then wait on God. And once you ask him, it's not yours anymore. You're not making the rules. But you don't want to make the rules because you want God to answer. And when he answers, his reflection, you think he's going to answer your prayer half-heartedly? You think that you're calling on God and you're waiting on God, that he answers your prayer and it's okay? No, when he answers your prayer, you can tell people, God blessed me. And when you tell somebody God blessed you, they can't doubt it. God blessed me to be standing here in front of you today. And that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When I first started walking with God, I didn't know where I was going, but he knew where I was going. And he blessed you to be here today. And a beautiful thought, if God led you here today, you're listening to God. But his answer is his reflection. When he blesses you with a job, when he blesses you with a mate, when he blesses you with good luck, or you find favor, that's good. That's so powerful that you cannot deny that it's God in your life. Understand what that is saying. You're a reflection of him. He wants it to shine. Say that with me. Shine. So it's God's timing, not your timing. Who do you trust? And one other thing before I close. Getting ahead of God will leave you exhausted. Anybody ever get ahead of God? Oh, I know what I want to do and I'm going to do this. And God is saying, psst, you're not ready. Psst. No, you're making no. Psst, come here. You're not ready for that. If you're going to fail, you're going to go for that job application and you're going to fail because you're not ready. Because you got ahead of God. It'll leave you exhausted. It'll leave you frustrated. And it'll leave you without faith. Waiting is holding up onto Jesus' hand, holding tight, talking to God, asking God to show you what you can do while you're waiting. You and God. So it says, wait on God. I know George has good testimonies because he told me, see? But maybe he's holding back because he's still got things he's praying for. But he's blessed to be here today. He's blessed to be here today, and I'm believing for good things for him. I'm believing for good things for all of us who wait on God. But you and God, say that with me, you and God. When you pray, you're talking to God. When you pray, you're asking God. And when you prayed that prayer and he took it in his hand, you're no longer in charge. It is God in charge because he wants to answer your prayer in a way that's so beautiful that nobody could deny it was God's hand. When you pray for a mate, it's going to be from God. It's going to be beautiful. Doesn't mean you're not going to argue. Doesn't mean you're not going to have disagreements. Doesn't mean you're not going to get frustrated. That's just life. Those are feelings. But your heart and your soul and your spirit will be one, and you'll be so excited and so much in love. Hallelujah. Love, the greatest of these, love. The Bible tells us love is the greatest of all things. So let's love one another today. Let's love the one near you today. Love means change. You make those changes. Your ways, not your ways, but love is giving, not taking. Remember that. Love is giving and not taking. But those three beautiful words in the Bible, the three beautiful words that touch my heart, love never fails. And God loves you. So God never fails. So when you wait on God, things never fail. But don't ask God, are we there yet? Don't ask God, say, is the turkey ready yet? Because you have too many things to do while you're praying. Remember that. You have an obligation to God now. Now that you gave him the prayer and it's out of your hands, you have an obligation to tidy up. Get ready. Do the changes you need to do. Be in a place to receive those blessings. Because God is ready, willing, and able. Because God always has the door open for you. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah.
With beauty, laughter, mountains, valleys, and streams. He gave it to man, saying, "This is your world. Guard it with love and humility. Keep faith with me and humanity. Keep faith with me. Keep faith with me."
That's one of our favorites.
It's beautiful. Please be kind to some people. You know, if they say something nice today that they haven't said before, please be gentle with them. Understand that if somebody's going to try to be kind and loving, just receive. And don't wait any longer to say something beautiful to somebody you love or somebody that matters to you or your friend or your neighbor, because it changes their life and it'll change your life too. Don't hope and wish that you did. Do it. This is your chance today. If you don't do it, that's up to you. And it's not, God's not going to be mad at you if you don't do it. But God is saying if you do it, there'll be a light inside of you and a light inside them that changes the world. Everybody wants to change the world from all over the world instead of changing it in their own backyard first. So you have that chance today. And be kind. If somebody says, "You know, I've never really said that before," or "Let me say," or "I'm sorry," then be gracious and just give them a hug, or say thank you on the phone, or say just something nice back. Can I have an amen on that? Give God praise, church. Hallelujah. We have a friend that we work for in Watertown who she got cancer, and they gave her the strongest doses of chemo that they could, three of them, and it didn't touch what she had. And now she said the other day that, "I feel like a guinea pig now." But she's, so I said, "We're going to pray for you." Her name is Kathy. And she said, "We're going to pray for you that some miraculous, that something happens, that things change in your body, because God knows." And we pray for this all the time. We pray for people, and she's asked us to do that. Now, we know Brother Brian is not doing well at all, but we pray for Annie, and we pray for the families around these people. But she's asked us, you know, she said, I don't know where to go. She said, "I guess prayer works." So she's not a real Bible believer like we are. But I did tell her that we're going to pray for her, and we're going to ask God to do something and have a good report from doctors who today and yesterday didn't have a good report. Would you pray with me for that? Would you just kind of write her name down or lift her name up or just say, "Lord, touch her"? That's all you really need. It's not like any of our prayers are miraculous, but we're praying to God, all of us believing, and when we hear a good report, we'll share it. Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Again, pray for Deacon Jim. He's not feeling well today. He's home. Got them allergies really kicking in again. We are blessed to have him in our church. This we do every Sunday in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on that cross. That's what we're doing. Just remembering what Jesus did. So just say, "Thank you, Lord," as we partake of what the Bible calls the Lord's Supper. And this beautiful day, you're just remembering what Jesus did for you on that cross. He could have asked us to do so much more. He just said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's all he's asked us to do. In remembrance of what he did once for all. Our salvation. Everything that we hold tight to and believe for tomorrow. He did once for all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Message today can change your life, could change other people's lives. You have that power because you have God inside of you, and you have the name of Christ on you. You can change somebody's life today with a phone call or just a beautiful word. Don't wait to receive anything, just do it. Do it unto God. He does it for us every day. Every day he does it for us. Thank you, Deacon. Tells us that he took the bread and blessed and broke the bread. And he said, this is my body being torn for you. I love to think that they had no idea what he was talking about. But you do. And he said to eat and do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of the week. Cleanse us, Lord, so we can receive this, Lord. The Bible says we all fall short daily. But he says when we confess our sins, he forgives us our sins. So we ask you this morning, Lord, to forgive us for the iniquities of this week, the thoughts and the doubts and anything that we did that separated us from you, even for a second. Cleanse us so that we can receive the sacrament of your blood, Lord. In Jesus' name. What needs tidying. Might be a little change you have to do, or a little thoughts you have to do, or just helping out while you're waiting for the turkey to be ready. Help out. Even if it's something small, it will be noticed. If you didn't say it or do it before, it will be noticed. And when they notice, just smile. Let God do the rest. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. You have an obligation when you're waiting to do things for God. Thank you, Father. To be in a place of hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Deacon. Filling in for Deacon Jim is Deacon Bill this morning. Praise the Lord. Cleanse us, Father, and heal us, Lord, and forgive us our iniquities this week as we take the blood of Christ that covers us from all sin from the Father. He simply asked us that we do this in remembrance of him. That is what we ask, and that what we do in Jesus' name. I believe in miracles. I believe God is still in the miracle business. I believe in the grace of God. I believe that we can find the grace of God, be in the grace of God, by simply allowing Him into your life. I believe we can do so much more for our neighbors, the people around us, our family and our friends. That's where God is calling us to heal. Our family, the neighbors around us, the people that we know. Let the world heal itself as we heal those around us. And that will spread. If you talk to somebody, one person today, and you make them feel good, and that person tells somebody else tomorrow and the day after, it continues. The people don't know what they did or how they did it, but they know they felt something different. Then you're doing God's work in your neighborhood, letting it grow here, doing all we can do for the Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Give Him praise, church. We're in a beautiful place today. We have some... the time of the church. We don't pass a plate. We don't ask you how much you make a year. We don't ask anything. But God says to be a cheerful giver. This is where you give to the ministry. You give out of what God has blessed you with. What you feel you can give from what God has blessed you with. This is between you and God. He said, I will see your giving and I will bless back your giving. And I will bless back with pouring over that you can't contain my blessings. Hallelujah. But it's up to you to bless the church, and up to you to bless where God has planted you to hear the word of God. So we give God this offering from His people, from cheerful givers, from His people to this church, to this ministry, so that we can stay open and tell more people about the hope, the love, and God in Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, multiply that blessing. It's been a beautiful day in the Lord. I always get excited on Sunday. I get excited reading His word. I get excited sharing His word. Today we found the same song and the same message, and I like when God is in the house. I want you to have a wonderful, blessed week. I want you to talk to people and love people. Tell people about your church. Bring people here so that we can read His word together as a family in Christ. In Jesus' name, and I ask you to ask God to bless the United States of America. Mr. Mako.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet.